This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars. From Washington, D.C., this is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 99. 99? Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She's an in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful that you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hello.
Hey, Craig.
What's up?
I don't know. What is up? I'm trying to think. Anything new? Oh, wait. It's 2020 and nothing is ever new.
No. Everything's the same. I do want to give a quick update about my furnace because we've talked about that here. I got one from Costco this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brand new installed. I was so, totally into that. And it turns out since November 1st, it does not heat the house because we haven't had any cold weather. I just said, it's always cold here. I normally don't have the heat on in the fall. I just like it a little chilly. I just put a sweater on, save money because I'm frugal. But I went to go turn it on. And I'm like, let me like a little warmer. Well, it turns out it was not working.
I love how you just threw in a whole comment because I'm frugal, you know, and modest.
I've turned very frugal. I am the way I am now is not what I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I typically don't turn on the heat till it like gets cold. We've been getting freezing nights lately. I'm like, let me turn this up a little bit. I'm like,
we've been getting freezing nights here in Florida.
That's what I've been hearing. So
I haven't turned on my heat either, but I haven't had to run my air conditioning in a few days.
Air conditioning. I don't even want to hear it. So if y'all remember, I bought this through Costco and use their service. And if you recall, the way it works is when you buy like a HVAC unit or something from Costco, Costco does not reimburse the installers until I'm happy as a Costco customer, which I think is amazing. When I'm happy, then the company gets their money. So now I have a HVAC unit I paid $12,000 for that does not work. Has an error code on my phone, on the display unit on the wall. It says error code this, it does not work. I called them. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a sheet that you get from Costco. If you have any problems, this is the order you do it. The first one is you contact them first. If you don't get resolved there, number two is you call Costco. So I called, I called the number. Oh, suddenly, Amanda, I'm a preferred customer. We will be right out today to take care of this for you. I'm like, let me tell you something, Amanda. If I do any appliances, like I'm thinking about getting a refrigerator from them, I'm doing everything through Costco. I like how they do that because these companies rely on Costco for the customers and they're getting a lot of business that way. They will make sure you're taken care of. I'm just letting people know I got an excellent price. I got lots of gift cards out of it and I'm getting priority service. I've never had that kind of service for any appliance in my house ever in my life. I'm just letting you all know that was an amazing experience. They came out here, boom, done. It turns out what happened is they overpressurized the coolant on the outside unit, which did cause it, the heat pump, not to work. All he did was take out something, up and running, good to go. Thank me. They are professional. They're done. Awesome. Got a zero bill.
Right.
So
brought to you by our spokesperson for Costco.
There you go. We are not sponsored by any of these people, but...
No, we are not.
I've just never understood how... You go to Costco and on the way up, you see those displays for roofing, HVAC, garage doors,
hauling, water treatment. Yeah,
all that stuff. So now that I know how it works, I will go there first. I am complete. I want to send. I'm so happy. You know me. If I'm happy about something, I will make sure the company knows. I'm going to send a letter to, or something to Costco. Let them know. This has been the most amazing experience I've had, and it was the lowest price. So,
very good. Hey, one other thing you should talk about is your gaming.
Oh, we can't yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's going to happen by Thursday or not, so I'll have to edit this.
Gotcha. Okay.
We'll do that episode 100, I guess.
Gotcha.
It takes effect. Yeah, it takes effect Wednesday, but the rollout may take a couple days. So
I gotcha.
We have questions from the listeners because they want to know what we think. And we do not have sponsors. We don't take money from anybody. It's completely unbiased. It is based on Dave Ramsey teachings and stuff like that. But we have our own spin on a lot of things like that. So here's
I have an opinion on pretty much everything. And if I don't, I can certainly form an opinion.
But whatever we come up with on opinion does not really vary that much on it. I think we bring more realism sometimes to some of the questions because every question is unique. So we just have a way of approaching it, but we're still going to refer back to the basic baby steps. So, question number one, Amanda, you ready?
Yeah. How about I read this one?
Yes.
Can investing be a one-time thing where I could drop off? Oh, I love it. It's like dropping someone off at daycare. I could drop off $350 one time, pick an investment system, and come back in 10 years to thousands of dollars. What say you, Craig?
Okay. Number one. I home in on this one thing about a system. I don't like all these ads I see out there on Facebook, Twitter, or the web, or on TV about there's some crazy system to make more money. I'm completely against all these guys because you know.
Well, unless their system is just to drop off and park the $350 in like an S&P 500.
Yeah, that would be different. But see, I don't call that a system. You know what I mean? I'm talking about these guys that are out there selling these courses about systems or you know who really makes money in those is the guy that's selling the course. That's what I'm getting at, like day trading things or Bitcoin traders or Forex, all this crazy crap I see all over social media. There's so many of these guys out here selling their stuff. There is no system, guys. There is no system. It was super simple. Now, if I take this $350 and just I don't know how you do it, but you drop it off into some index fund as your basic investment tool, an S&P 500 index fund. That a lot of them are free, Amanda, from Schwab and Fidelity. You can get a free, no-cost index fund of the S&P 500. And yes, you could drop off that $350 at a Schwab office, I guess, if that's where you want to drop it off. But if you drop it in there, typically, over 10 years, they said 10 years.
Yeah.
They said thousands of dollars. Yes, I think that might work.
Yeah, I think so.
It'll be close to 1,000. Because here's what we're looking at. S&P 500 index typically, on average, over long term, does 8 to 12% per year long term. So based on the rule of 72s, Amanda, you take the percentage rate. Let's go low, 8%. 8%, 8 goes into 72 9 times. So in 9 years, on average, your money will double, which will put it at 700.
It would be $700 in 9 years if you only have 8% growth.
We're going on the low side. So I'm saying you might hit 1,000 in 10 years if you have some good years in there, but we're talking about long-term average on that.
Yeah, so, if the average is 12%, you're going to double your money in 6 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you see where you're talking about there. So I'm thinking, yeah, you could come up. Now, he said thousands. No, and not happening.
No.
I'm not saying it won't, but on average, long-term, things happen. We have recessions long-term. We have, I hate to be dark, but there could be terrorist attacks. We have natural disasters.
I mean, unless you lucked out and picked some stock like an Amazon stock.
Right. But we're totally against that kind of thing. But if you have $350, you're done with all the baby steps. You have $350 extra dollars sitting around. You want to throw it on a stock.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
But you also may lose it.
Yeah.
There is no thing that says I'm going to come back and thousands are going to be just sitting there. That's not how this works. There's no guarantee in anything.
We're saying there's a chance.
They're saying there's a chance, but what you really need to do is get back into a long-term mindset. $350 is really not a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's not, yeah.
All right, question two.
Yeah. I'm glad you moved on because I'm done with that.
I'm moving on. Question two, Craig.
Whoa! Yes. Is this happening to anyone else? I started an Ally bank account each month They've mailed me to lower the APR, the average annual percentage rate. So annoying, Amanda.
Yes, I started, it is.
I love this because you need to answer this because this is all about you. I started at 0.8% and now they just bumped me down to 0.5%. Is it worth staying or should I look for another bank?
Yeah, that is super annoying. And guess who else it's happening to? Everyone.
Everybody.
Not just Ally Bank, not just you, but every online bank is following suit. So their rates usually line up within a couple days of each other. So no, it's not worth changing to anyone else. You think you've got it bad. I think I started out with Marcus by Goldman Sachs around 3 to 3.5%. And over the last just 2 or 3 years, it's just slowly been diving down. And the last couple of months has actually been fast. They've been dropping pretty much every month you get a new email saying it's going down. I used to get emails saying, hey, we've increased our interest rate. But that was a couple of years ago. And no, we're in a bad state. So again, savings accounts are savings accounts. They're not money makers. Certainly it's better to have it there where it's making a little bit of interest versus somewhere where it's making no interest, like 0.01% at your local brick and mortar bank. But you're not going to make money on a savings account. It's there for you to save, not for you to make money. We have investment accounts for making money.
I'm assuming this is like an emergency fund or something like that, because otherwise it shouldn't even be in there. But I'm assuming that's what this is. It's money that needs to be liquid. They have to have access to it.
Right.
So I'm assuming that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not for investing. It's definitely not. But I feel your pain, and the forecast is this is not changing anytime soon. Yeah. Possibly for a couple of years. So, which reiterates my thing about some of these 401ks. People are in bond funds. Bond funds have rates just like this.
Yeah.
You're not making money. That's why I don't do bond funds. I look for 100% stock equity mutual funds that beat the S&P 500 or are the S&P 500. It really comes full circle. Same thing. I have another question.
All right, question three, Craig. Yeah. How do we check our credit reports? I'm worried a family member might be committing a little fraud with our info. Just a little.
What would be examples of a little fraud?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I feel like that's one of those you can't be half pregnant. Either you're committing fraud or not committing fraud.
Luckily, during the pandemic, they've changed the rules about credit reports. It's super easy to get your credit report. Matter of fact, they changed the rules that you can now get your credit report like every week to keep an eye on, because there are a lot of fraudulent transactions going on out there. And you should, number one, Amanda, freeze your credit. It's easy to freeze your credit. That should be done first. And then you get your credit report and see what's on there. So once it's frozen, it's locked down. So to freeze it, you got to go to all three credit bureaus. You got TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. So you freeze it, and it takes like 15 minutes, literally 15 minutes. You need to do it for every member of your family. If you have a social security number, which is what? Basically who, Amanda? Including the babies. Remember?
Well, it's everyone who is a U.S. citizen. Yeah.
Oh, good point. So if you have a social security number, including your kids, even including your babies, you got to lock it down. You can get your free credit reports at annualcreditreport.com. And right now they are free for the next year.
And more than annual.
You can do more than annual. And so even though it says annual, you can do it even more often during the pandemic. Once we come out of the pandemic, I believe that may go back to annual. But right now, credit reporting agencies are all making it available more often because there's been a lot of fraudulent activity going on out there during the pandemic.
Definitely freeze your credit.
Right. You definitely want to freeze it at Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. If you go to our website, Amanda, our amazing website, rockonthemoney.com, in the search bar at the top, type in credit report. The article about the free credit reports is right there, where you can go to annualcreditreport.com. And how to freeze your credit is also on there with links to each one of those. They are safe links to take you to each of the credit bureaus and or the phone number where you can do it over the phone.
Yes.
It's very, very easy, and everybody should have this done immediately if you have not done it. is the great best way advice. To protect yourself. All right. How about we take a quick break and we'll come back with three great questions.
Okay.
All right. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
To Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. I can't emphasize that credit report thing. So go to the website, type in credit report in the search bar, and it will come up with the articles and give you all the information. They're short articles, simple links to get it done. Take 15 minutes out of your day, get that done.
Hey, you know what I was thinking also, Craig, is we're in the last couple of weeks of the year. Thank goodness. But this is the time of year when it's really important to get organized for tax time.
Oh, I've been doing that.
Yeah.
For the first time in many years, Rockland USA has a profit. So now I'm like, I'm trying to find every business expense. If you guys have these side gigs that Amanda has been talking about, like all these things you could be doing, you gotta pay money on that. Typically, yes. You're getting up with a 1099, right, Amanda?
Yes, and a 1099 means you're an independent contractor, which means that you have to also pay self-employment tax. So it's basically double the tax that you would normally pay.
And even if you're self-employed, you can still come up with things that you can write off that were directly related to your business. Yes. May be able to write off that. I should do that. I'm working with you, a lawyer here. May be able to
write off. So as long as it's an eligible business expense. Yeah.
Yeah. You mean you can't buy an Xbox?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know anymore because some of the things that I thought would unquestionably be not included, certain politicians, presidents have taken as tax deductions. So I don't know. I don't understand how some people are able to get away with some things. But I would assume things like tanning bed visits are not covered.
Oh.
And we may find out in years to come that those are not covered. Just saying. There may be some investigations happening.
So if you order stuff on Amazon because you do like DoorDash and you need stuff for your delivery or whatever it is, you need more comfortable, whatever you had, gather up all your receipts, get everything organized now, make your spreadsheets on Google Sheets or whatever, start getting all that stuff together. Because if you don't start now, you're going to start scrambling, you're going to miss out on things. And you don't need the stress. Now is the time to start doing that.
What else do you have going on right now? It's not like everyone can, party for the holidays this year. So, But definitely, if you're doing anything that is delivery related, you should have been tracking your mileage.
Yes.
Because mileage is a huge deductible expense.
Huge. I used to be able to take that.
It adds up very, very quickly, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You'd be surprised how much write-off I got on that. I'm legitimately writing off mileage.
Yes.
Which this year I have nothing.
Well, you've gone back and forth to the post office.
Which is literally half a mile down the street.
Hey, every time you go to the post office and back, it's a dollar.
There you go. But, and also, I'm doing streaming with Facebook. I'm buying additional items that I really need. And now's the time to do that because of the profit. I'm trying to get write-offs for that. So you have to really think about, work with your tax professional, figure out what's the best way to use your money. Everything's going to be situational, obviously.
Right. So. Absolutely. And now is the time to make a list of the documents you expect to receive. Because the worst thing that happens to people is they think they have all their documents and go and get their taxes prepared, you know, last week of January. And then a straggler comes in after they've already prepared and sent in their taxes. And then they have to do a tax filing amendment. And that's very annoying.
That has happened to me. I admit it.
So I always make a list, and I make it actually when we do our taxes the year before. I create a new folder for the next year. So I have a checklist, and then throughout the year, as you know, new income producing opportunities arise, I add it to the list so that I know in January and early February what documents I need to have collected. Because sometimes they also don't make it to you.
No.
And you have to go searching for them.
Right. The one that I miss typically is the one from Google. If I get ad money from ads that appear on websites or something like that, it could be like $10 or some stupid, but still a $10.
It's reportable income.
It's reportable. So I'll forget.
Or your 0.5% savings interest is also reportable. There you go. So make sure you get your form from the bank.
All right. We have a couple of questions here, Amanda.
Great.
Here's a good one. Here's an easy one.
This one is easy. So this is your chance to think, hey, how am I not going to talk about this forever?
Any good money books to read out there besides Ramsey books?
Yes.
Yes. So
luckily, we've given this some thought in the past.
Yes, we have.
And we have a link on our website or a section called books, and there are books that we recommend. Now, admittedly, there are a couple of the Dave Ramsey books in this list, but it's not entirely Dave Ramsey books.
No, it's not.
So in addition to the, you know, obviously the Bible, The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, there are things like I personally enjoy reading Susie Orman's books. So I put one of hers on the, and I think just one, but she obviously has a number of books available. I think one that's another great Bible to have, and I know there's only one Bible, but maybe a Quran or something. I don't know. So another great foundational book is Susie Orman's 9 Steps to Financial Freedom. So that one has, you know, some useful advice and some additional inspiration. And I love the little vignettes that are in there to tell some, she has some personal stories in there that are very powerful and other examples. So I think that's a great one to put into your financial library. We have one on budgeting. We have one that talks about habits of broke people. So yes. Things to avoid. Obviously that one's a fun one. So there's a couple here that, are really good reads. And these are good starters. So they're obviously just things to get you started on reading about financial information. If you need additional recommendations from that, go ahead and message us directly at, what is our email address again, Craig?
Podcast@rocklandusa.com.
Yeah. So send us a note and let us know what you've already read, what you liked or didn't like. And I'm happy to give you a personal recommendation.
Yeah, when we keep talking about the S&P 500 index as our basis, we have books in that group that explain why and all the science and proof about all that. John C. Bogle, there's several of those. He's the one that started Vanguard, which is a really great company, by the way. I mean, they really are there for the small investor. And they're not sponsored here. That's just a fact.
No.
We definitely don't. How much money do we make from this podcast, Amanda?
So far, zero.
Zero. There are two books on here which I really like. They really dispel the myths about millionaires and what a millionaire really is. And it's The Millionaire Next Door is one. And the other one is Chris Hogan's book, Everyday Millionaires. And both of them really talk about what millionaire really, like your neighbor.
Yeah.
You have a neighbor, one that has a Mercedes in their driveway and one that has the Honda Accord in there. Which is the millionaire? Now, yes, the Mercedes price could be, but typically people that are flashy with their money are not the millionaire you think. It's actually the frugal person that does not have the expensive car because they're careful with their money and they just live with what they really need.
You know, the one who doesn't turn their heat on.
Yes, I'm Mr. Frugal. Let's get to the next question.
So one last thing. If you are interested, please go to our website to the book section and click to make your purchase through there. It does help us with a nominal referral.
It will be generating a 1099, by the way.
Our pennies.
Yes. But see, that's our what pennies. Happens, Amanda, is these little things like that, you forget about those if you do websites, stuff like that, because you have Google ads, you have that. I have Amazon money coming in, but it doesn't offset the cost of doing the podcast. But it does help if you do click on those links to help at least... Let's break even. That's all we're doing.
Well, I don't even know if we'll get that far, but that's my plea to you all is if you think that you enjoy or are interested in one of those books, if you could please click from our website, that would be modestly helpful.
RockOnTheMoney.com/books. And the links are right there. It says buy now. There's only 10 books. And those are ones you pick five and I pick five. So I remember that discussion. That was a great discussion.
Yeah. You know what we should do is split the page into Craig's picks and Amanda's picks.
All right. I'm going to work on that. I like that. I like that idea.
We'll do a 2021 refresh.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. All right. Question number five. I'm new. I'm still paying off my debt and I'm 26. I just wanted to know if that is a good start so far, what I have on my 401k, or should I go more aggressive and up my investment percentage? That sentence was everywhere, but...
Yeah, so you should reduce your investment percentage to zero right now until you finish paying off your debt. Yeah. That's an easy answer.
Yeah, you're actually on baby step two because you're paying off debt, and we do not invest any money while you're in baby step two, which
because
people do not
step
like.
Four.
But people don't like that answer.
No, they don't.
People feel like they're missing out.
Yeah. You can't do Dave-ish. Well, I guess you can, but then you can't say that you're doing Dave Ramsey. Right. You're doing your own recipe and, you know, maybe your cake is going to collapse in the middle because you didn't follow the recipe book. So you need to do things in order.
I do understand people that don't understand basic financial literacy in that they hear someone like Amanda who got in on an IPO for Airbnb and doubled her money like in a day. And they feel like they're missing out, but they're paying off their debt. I understand that.
Yeah.
But guys, you need to understand you are losing more than you're making if you're trying to invest money in an S&P 500 index at 8 to 12% when you're paying 20 some percent for a credit card.
Right.
You are losing money faster than you're making. You need to take all that money you have available and put it against the debt to stop the bleeding is what we're trying to do.
Right. And then once you are situated with your debt paid off and your emergency fund fully funded, then and only then do you start investing in your 401k. And then and only then is it set to 15%.
Right. And it is basic math, but people, all they do is they hear their friends bragging about how much they made on Robinhood. The fact is, don't listen to them because if you really looked at their finances, they probably have debt. 70% of people out there cannot even cover what emergency fund? How much money?
Most people can't even get their hands on $500.
Right.
So we majority of Americans,
a large majority of Americans cannot even come up with $500.
Right.
So...
There's certainly not enough cash to cover an IPO investment.
You know what's amazing about those stats, Amanda? I thought about the other day is 20% of America actually is millionaires. So it goes dramatically from here to that. You're either there or you're up there. There's a very small percentage where people are not. They're like in between. So many people are in debt out there of something. If you're in debt, you have no net worth.
Yeah,
it's a dramatic
shift. So you have negative net worth.
Yeah. Right, negative net worth, yeah. And then if you're not in the other camp, you don't have money for retirement. We're telling you the right way, guys. Just, I know it doesn't make sense, but you got to trust us. The math works.
All right, so we have a similar question here for the last question of the day. Question six, do I include my retirement contributions in my 6-month emergency fund? No.
No, 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 no. We're on two different steps here. No, because why, Amanda? Well, the money has to be liquid, number one.
Yeah.
And if it's in retirement fund, you're not supposed to be touching it.
You don't touch your retirement fund. No. Don't touch your retirement fund. Don't touch your retirement fund. So that, and all, yeah, like Craig said, your emergency fund should be liquid. It should be a completely separate account from your retirement. You should never touch your retirement account until it's time to retire, unless and only if there is a life-threatening situation, like you are in late-stage foreclosure on your house and about to be homeless. Not that you're behind on your house payments, but right. that you've actually been foreclosed upon and are about to be kicked out onto the streets.
Which takes
or you need the money
months.
To pay for a health treatment up front. Not that you're behind on your debt to healthcare providers.
Yeah. Your mom is smiling because you were talking about don't touch your 401k.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing she said she learned from the podcast, right? Don't touch your 401k.
Yes, that's what she learned.
You can include your six-month emergency fund in your net worth calculations.
You can.
Yeah, and the emergency fund, do not expect to make a lot of money from that. That's where it ends up in the Ally bank account, making only 0.5%. It's got to remain liquid. It's not fun, but trust me for someone who just put in a $12,000 air conditioning unit outside, HVAC unit outside, and had to do a roof and stuff like that where I had to use emergency funds. Otherwise, you'd be on a credit card.
Yeah.
Losing money. And you do need an emergency fund. It will save you from going back to baby step two. Because once you're in baby step two and then something else happens and something else, you start going back down the spiral and then you got to work your way back out and then you're starting all over again. The emergency fund is what saves you from
it's
going
safety
back
net.
Down.
It's just like a trapeze artist. It's the safety net saves you from falling flat on your face.
Even good, well-run companies have a slush, what do they call it, slush funds or some fund. Even governments have that. A well-run government even has, they may call it like a rainy day fund or it's a general fund that they can pull out of in case something happens. Like,
yes.
Let's say the state of Maryland, where I live, we have more snow than usual. They got to buy more salt or pay for more overtime to pile the roads. Well, they pulled out that fund. They got, it has to come from somewhere. Why shouldn't you do that in your own house? That's the point of an emergency fund. We're doing nothing different than what a company would to stay in business. All right. That
All right.
was awesome.
Well, great episode.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.